This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the banjo radio alarm that you cannot hit the snooze button on, even if you wanted to. This is Alan Ellis with the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we're talking about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors here today. Show's pre-recorded here on February 24th because Robin and I are at the National Outdoor Show in Dorchester County, Golden Hill, Maryland. We are there with our measurers for bucks, bears, and stags. We're measuring sika deer and bear skulls and white-tailed deer and just having a good old time. Show started last night, ends up today, and tonight the culmination is the World Muskrat Skinning Championship. And I'm sure Robin's going to enjoy that and having a big bowl of muskrat soup. She's with me today, but she's being quiet. This is the first time she's ever been in on a pre-recorded show and didn't want to say anything. However, we do have two wonderful guests here this morning with us. We have Mr. Steve Keithley is with us. He's, since we're pre-recording, he's not down there measuring, you know, deer antlers and stuff. He's here with us today, and he was, on the witness stand in the General Assembly, on Tuesday, talking about the nighttime shooting prohibition bill that Senator Astor introduced into the General Assembly. And we have Marcia Pradines with us, who is the
project leader of the Chesapeake Marshlands National Wildlife Refuge Complex. Most people know Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge.
Got it. But do you get that big long thing on your business card?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yes, yes.
You
got
to have one like a 3x5 card you hand out
exactly.
to people.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
With your picture on and a sika deer on one side and an eagle on the other and the. I'm just kidding.
No, that's fine. But Eastern Neck National Wildlife Refuge is a part of that complex. So yes. It's a wonderful one as well.
Indeed. And we're going to talk. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the hunting programs and fishing as well on the refuges. So. But I think first we'll talk with Steve. Steve, what is your official title?
I have two titles. In the spring and summer, I'm a very bad golfer. That's
okay.
My first title.
Okay.
And then in the fall, late fall, winter time, I'm archer extraordinaire, and I hunt better than I play golf. I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's good. That's good. I've known you for a long time, Steve, and. It's been a pleasure all those years and kind of reconnected here with bucks, bears, and stags.
Yeah, really excited about that program.
Mm-hmm.
We've been able to line up a bunch of my fellow measurers from all over the state, both with Boone and Crockett and Pope and Young and past measuring experience here in the state. And we've, as you know, been part of tabling a lot of ideas how to move the record program forward in the state and ultimately come up with a publication that everyone will be proud of.
That's the idea, to put out a record book called Maryland's Finest. And, of course, Robin's part of that business. She's executive director. I'm the marketing guy. Steve and Bob Newton and Doug Wigfield and Augie Gray and Don Travis and Carlton Vasek are all scorers.
Yes.
Some of them are authorized. Some of you guys like you and Bobby and Augie and Doug are all, well, Doug's retired Pope and Young, but, you know, he could still.
Exactly. So, exactly. Doug is our expert sika guru, if you want to call him that.
Yep. Yeah, he did many years in DNR studying the little critters. And Marcia, do you know Doug Wigfield?
Yes.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Doug's a part of that program as well, but. Let's start with Steve here. Yesterday, which would have been Tuesday, you were in the witness box in
Correct.
Front of the General Assembly SEHEA committee, which is basically the Education Environmental Committee. And they're the ones that hear all the hunting bills.
Yes.
Senator Astor introduced Senate Bill 747. And I'm not sure what the title of that bill is exactly. I think it says night shooting prohibition or something like that.
Yes, correct.
Prohibition night shooting.
Yes.
So, Basically, this says that, and we heard this yesterday, confirmed by the Maryland Farm Bureau, that they had been in discussions with the administration back in the summer and the fall, and were hoping that the Hogan administration would authorize night shooting of deer on crop damage permits. If you're a hunter and you hear those words, night shooting of deer, both whitetail and sitka deer, on crop damage permits, that should raise a little bit of a red flag in your mind.
Huge flag.
Huge flag. Let's say that there are 1,700 crop damage permits issued each year. They are primarily for antlerless deer. They issue several across the state for nurseries and orchards for bucks, limited numbers of antlered deer. Okay, the 1,700 crop damage permits authorize about 30,000 deer to be killed. Typically, they report, the holders of DMPs report, ballpark 8,000 deer a year killed on crop damage permits. So there's a lot of room there. They have to continue to shoot. There was a lot of talk about number comparison yesterday. You know, how many deer did the recreational hunters kill? Well, we killed 84,000 or something like that this year, all in the daylight. Isn't that amazing? Crop damages are applicable 365 days a year, 7 days a week, including Sundays, and they wound up killing 8,000 deer. The senator's bill would say to DNR, based on these discussions that were held between the Farm Bureau and the Hogan administration, we as the hunting community do not want DNR to authorize farmers with deer management permits, crop damage permits, to be able to take their rifles and shoot deer at night for two main reasons. And they are, it's unfair and it's unsafe. And you spoke to that yesterday.
Yes, I've been a hunter safety instructor in the state. Probably about 22 years, I would say, something like that. And I really taken my job seriously, teaching young folks how to get involved in the sport and teenagers. And now we're seeing a lot of young females getting involved in hunting and getting certified for their to get their license and whatnot. And what concerned me about this, there's nothing in the hunter safety curriculum that we're teaching that covers shooting a single projectile at an animal, potentially at long yardages, under the cover of darkness. It really has me concerned that could possibly happen. Maybe the landowners are intimately familiar with their property, but some of the people that are authorized under the deer management permit may not be.
And that's a good point.
There's
1,700 permits issued, but you can put as many as 10 or more agents on there.
Exactly.
To shoot your animals for you.
Exactly. And these may not be Navy SEAL sniper type.
Likely not.
Yes.
Likely
I mean, they're certified under the state to hunt from a half an hour before sunrise to a half an hour after sunset. They're not trained or qualified to be shooting a single projectile firearm at, again, potentially long yardage under the cover of darkness. It really has me concerned about that.
I want our listeners to think about this. If this provision were to be granted by the administration and allow holders of deer management permits to allow themselves and their agents to shoot at night, got 1,700 permits. Let's say there's five guys on your permit, okay, and yourself. We've got potential for thousands of people out there shooting high-powered rifles across farm fields at night.
Exactly.
And this bill has nothing to do with varmint hunting, coyotes, foxes. We found some very interesting things about coyote hunting and fox hunting and raccoons and possums. Those people that, you know, do that in a controlled environment, probably, I don't know, maybe 200 people or so, maybe 250 people do that a year.
Yes.
And from usually, what's the season, mid-November to mid-February, I think.
Something in that range, ballpark. I think so. I think you're correct on that, yes.
To be able to shoot at night.
Right.
And, you know, you're using a lower caliber varmint rifle, 17 or 22, 250, or even a 223,
right.
you're shooting at a downward angle at an animal that's about 6 inches off
right.
the ground, maybe a foot in the
And my understanding, it would be more in a timbered situation, too, which would...
More than likely.
Yes, not an open field type situation.
More than likely, exactly right. So, compare that to somebody with a high-powered rifle, a 270, 30-06, 308, 7mm mag or bigger, firing that high-powered rifle at a target out in the middle of a field that's been lit up with a spotlight.
Exactly.
Okay, you got two eyes shining. Do you aim between the eyes and take that shot, or do you try to figure out in the dark where the vitals are on that animal? And, you know, our argument is there's going to be far more animals wounded and escape than those that are actually killed.
Right.
And it's just a very dangerous situation. And one of the young ladies, and I can't speak her name right now, with the Maryland Bowhunter Society.
Mary Beth Kucinich,
I think maybe something like that.
Mary Beth, we apologize if we didn't pronounce your name.
We murdered your name, but that's okay. She was very good.
And she was very good.
She brought in the fact that this is also unethical,
as
you spoke to, as far as a hunter safety instructor. So, Marcia, we're not going to drag you into this, but where you are surrounded by farmers who have deer management permits. And, you know, we know that they take their fair share of deer, no question about it. And we also know that that area, that region, and you have nothing to do with this, but it is a hotbed of night shooting already. So we don't want that to be expanded upon in that area or any other area of the state. I mean, there's some hot spots in southern Maryland where you live, Steve, in western Maryland, Frederick County. There's those types of things. And all you have to do, and we'll put this map up somewhere, is to compare the harvest map from last year to this year and compare those areas where there's been a decline in the deer harvest. You've got green areas where there's been an uptick. You've got white areas on the map. These are by wildlife management units, a three-digit code, you know,
right.
that you have to put on your harvest card. And then we've got bright red and we've got orange areas. And the bright red and orange areas are at Lower Eastern Shore, Montgomery, Frederick counties, and some other areas, you know, sporadically throughout the state. So we know that EHD didn't kill thousands and thousands of deer that would precipitate the decline in the harvest. So that's where we're at with that. So we had a very good hearing. We were opposed. We were supported, believe it or not, by the Humane Society of the United States. Sorry about that. By the Humane Society of the United States, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But we got to take a break at this point. I'm going to tell you about Bay Country Crabbing Supply in Edgewater. They have everything you need for recreational crabbing and commercial crabbing, and now they've got Bay Fishing Tackle, too. You'll see them today, February 24th, at the Annapolis Fishing Show. So there won't be in the shop. Somebody will be there, but the main folks will be at the Annapolis Fishing Show. But Bay Country Crabbing Supply is located at 214 Mayo Road in Edgewater. Stackable traps, commercial pots, rigged trot lines and trot line parts, live boxes, nets, ropes, buoys, stainless steel steamers, and a full line of Bay fishing tackle and gear. Open house for Bay Country Crabbing Supply is April 14th. For more information, give Bay Country Crabbing Supply a call at 410-956-0300. Attention watermen. All you got to do is bring your license. You get a discount. Website, baycountrycrabbingsupply.com. We'll be right back after these messages. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie.
Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
What is this song?
Don't ask me, dude.
Don't ask me. I can't hear it.
I like it.
We'll listen for a second. Oh, it's the Doors. It's the Doors. Yes, it's the Doors. L.A. Woman, right? I know my Doors. That's for sure. By the way, I got castigated, not the other thing, castigated. Let me explain. I got yelled at.
I didn't yell at you.
During the break for saying Robin didn't want to talk. She doesn't have a microphone today. So it's okay. She's the timekeeper and standing right by, and everything's good, right?
I'm good.
Okay, we're good.
I'm good. So it's hard being quiet.
Say what?
It's hard being quiet.
Oh, I know that. For you, I may have made a mistake right there. we were talking about the Humane Society of the United States, the largest anti-hunting group in the world, on the witness stand on the same issue as the hunters.
That was amazing.
It was.
I enjoyed it. It was kind of fun.
It was kind of fun.
I enjoyed that being on the same side.
Yep, exactly.
Maybe it may have been a historical period in our time.
Let's hope so. Maryland Hunting Coalition. I'll tell you, brother, we do some different stuff, but that was actually the senator's idea to bring the Humane Society of the United States in, and the senator made it very clear that, you know, somebody, the Farm Bureau testified about the number of deer fatality or deer car collisions, 36,000 of them a year. The senator made it very clear that his son was killed in a deer car collision.
Yes. Very tragic story.
The deer came out in the middle of the road. He tried to miss the deer. Hit a tree, lost his life. That's Senator Astle's son. So yes. Very close to him.
Yes.
So, but it was very interesting that we were on the same side.
And I want to thank you too, Alan. That was an interesting experience for me going up there to testify. I've never done that before. I've been involved with the hunting politics in the state off and on for years, being president of the Maryland Bow Hunters back in the old days, 95 through 97.
Sure.
But that was quite an experience, and I really have a better understanding now of what it takes, the effort behind getting one of these things through. And a tip of the hat to you and Bill Miles for all the good stuff you guys do behind the scenes that are not seen by a lot of the hunters.
We also want to thank Ed Kramer for showing up.
Yes, Ed Kramer, right.
But, you know, he came in and offered some very valuable insights on that. But, you know, all we're trying to do is basically have our Department of Natural Resources not bow to pressure that would adversely affect our natural resources. And these deer do not belong to the hunters, and they do not belong to the farmers. Under the public trust doctrine, I brought this up yesterday, these are owned by the citizens of Maryland. No one owns them, but everybody owns them, basically, is the way that works. And which elicited a very interesting comment from our friends on the other side of Maryland Farm Bureau. Some numbers there that were passed out in the testimony. You can hear the testimony online. I'm not telling anything out of school that you can't hear or verify. But it was very interesting. He used the figure that wildlife does $50 an acre worth of damage to every acre planted in Maryland, which is 1.2 acres, and that came up to like $60 million worth of damage. I just let that sink in. Those are the figures estimated by the Farm Bureau, who was criticizing the Department of Natural Resources for estimating with their scientific methods the deer population. On one side, DNR can't do the job right, but these are our best estimates from the Farm Bureau.
Yes, we talked a little bit about the population growing to around 300,000 animals, white-tailed deer. I don't know if they included Sika deer or not, but white-tailed deer, I think, is what it was pertaining to. And that population is now down to about 200,000. So some program, there's been an effective result of the program in place now. So
We've got unlimited doe management with the bow.
Exactly.
10 deer for every weapon. I mean, 10 antlerless deer for every weapon. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And they were critical of, again, as you said,
the logarithm.
Exactly.
But it's okay for them to toss out a $50 an acre times $1.2
million,
which equals $60 million worth of deer, which goes up against a $4 billion crop.
Exactly.
Just in grain, soybean, and corn. So we want to thank everybody that was involved in that effort, and the Humane Society thing was pretty cool. You can see this again. I think it might be on our Facebook page, the recording of the hearing, so it's possible. But, the thing about you mentioned about the process, that's your one bite of the apple.
Yes, you can't redo it. Or undo it. You've got to go with it.
And you
better be prepared.
And you cannot, unless one of the committee members asks you a question, you cannot go back and try to rebut something somebody on the other side says.
Yes.
It's poor decorum.
Yep.
So that's it. That's your bite. And, you know, now it's up to the committee to make the vote. And keep this in mind. Steve Keithley and Marsha Pradeens and Robin Ellis and Alan Ellis and Bill Miles and Eddie Kramer and...
Mary Beth. Love you, Mary Beth.
Yeah, Mary Beth.
Don't be mad.
And the two young ladies from the Humane Society, keep this in mind. None of us can vote. It's all up to the elected officials to vote.
Right, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So anyway, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about Blackwater Wildlife, National Wildlife Refuge. That's your end of the piano there, Marcia.
Yeah, I'd love to.
How long have you been there?
I have been there. It's just been a little over a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm. And you're an animal rights activist, I understand?
I'm a wildlife biologist.
Life member of PETA?
And a bow hunter.
Oh.
Trying to be a bow hunter.
All right. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So how was your bow season? I see your picture online. Yeah. Oh, Mary Beth K.
Mary Beth K. We'll leave it at that.
Yep.
And she's a celebrity now.
Yes, she is. She's got her own Facebook page. And you're a bow hunter.
Yeah.
New
to bow hunting.
Welcome.
I've been deer hunting for quite a long time with a gun when I lived in Ohio for 10 years.
Sure.
I had the wonderful, the blessing, really, to be able to hunt those big Ohio deer with
a
slug gun.
Good place to hunt.
Yeah. They're beautiful deer. So I've harvested some bucks and does in Ohio, but never with a bow. I was always a little bit intimidated. I loved the idea of bow hunting. I didn't think I could pull back enough weight to do it, but guess what? Technology has made some pretty good bows out there, and I'm just pulling back 40 pounds, but 30's legal. I'm going to work my way up a little more.
You'll be able to shoot through just about any deer you encounter with that.
Now you know where to officially come to have your deer scored when you shoot a real big one.
Yeah.
Whitetail or Sika.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. So I started this. I started bow hunting last year, and this year is my first full season bow hunting from September 8th, opening day with all the mosquitoes on Blackwater.
You have mosquitoes?
Yeah, just a few.
It's a state bird, I think, down there.
The first thing I bought when I moved here was the thermosel.
That's probably one of the wisest things
I've bought. It's very smart. Yes. All the way to the last day, January 31st, freezing my butt off.
Well, that's good.
Thinking, man, I should have taken some of those deer I saw early season. That was my conclusion.
you make your decision, you take your shot or don't take your shot, and you can't.
I've got lots to learn. That's right.
Exactly. So you've been there for a little while.
Yes.
The area is gorgeous.
Yes, it is.
Of course, and it's ripe with wildlife. You've got waterfowl. You've got Sika deer. You've got white-tailed deer. You've got Nutria. Oh no, they killed.
No Nutria.
They killed all the Nutria they got.
Knock on wood.
But you do have snakeheads.
Yes, we do. We just caught one of our trappers, caught one in a trap just the other day.
A Nutria trapper?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Got it. That's interesting. I was talking to somebody who was there in November, Blackwater, where it goes across, 335, the bridge, goes across. He said he couldn't keep snakeheads off the hook in November.
Mm.
There's that many of them.
Yeah.
So, and they're delicious eating from what I understand.
Oh, they are.
Going to catch one and cook it and eat it. I haven't done that yet, but I know a couple little secret spots. And I know some people that know some secret spots.
Yes, and sometimes when we have our potlucks, we'll bring in sika and snakeheads. And so next time we have one, I'll invite you.
Good, that'd be great.
You can try it. We got some great chefs on staff that work for USDA as well as my guys. So
perfect. Are you going to be at the National Outdoor Show at all?
I am.
You're
going to
stop by?
Yeah.
Do you have a booth there?
Yeah. No, I'm
going
to stop by.
You got to stop by.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, when you go in the main gate, where you buy your tickets, I'll tell this to anybody that wants to show up with a deer head today. And we haven't determined how long we're going to score today. We're having a meeting tonight, right?
Yes.
So, but I'm guessing the show opened last night at 5, Robin?
The show
Friday.
It's either
5 or
5. Friday at 5. That would be last night.
Oh, sorry.
That would be last night. It's okay. 5 o'clock. You're okay. And
5.
We probably will score till 8, accept entries till 8.
We will score till we get them done.
Till we get them done.
Yeah, because we realize people may show up Friday. They want to have their animal scored and entered in BBS.
Right.
And they may not be back Saturday. I'm not sure how we're going to handle that.
Someone in theory
could leave one overnight and we'll score it the following day. But
I'd like to
just be accessible and score as long as we have to.
But I think today, Saturday, I think we're going to have to cut it off about 4 or 5 o'clock.
Prior to the other competitions.
Because there's, all the competitions and that type of thing. And we don't want to take people away from the show part.
So. Exactly.
And what we've done is we've invited people to show up, and we've got some hammers and some whitetails coming in.
Yes, we do.
And I was able to pick up today, through March 10th or 11th, the state record firearm sika deer from Wicomico County. That will be on display.
Great.
Tim Krause.
That's a beautiful animal.
It is. An eight point.
Yes.
So we have that. And we have some other heads being brought to display, and we're still working on some display heads. But to score them, we're going to, we'll play that by ear. Show opens at 10:30 and, probably cut it off at 5.
The texts and emails I've gotten, I've tried to urge people to get there early afternoon anyway for the scoring side of
it. Absolutely. So, that's that. But you're going to be there. You're going to show up.
Yes,
you're going to see Steve again on Saturday. Now, that'll be 3 times in 1 week
me. I'd be glad to score your great big Ohio deer, but we can't put him in BBS.
No. Yeah, actually, I had one that made Ohio Big Buck. He was just shy of Boone and Crockett because he had a very long brow tine, and one of them was broken.
Anything close to Boone and Crockett is
a beautiful mature buck. Yeah, he was a 10 point mainframe with 2 drop times.
Okay, we're moving on.
That was a long time ago.
Time for you to leave now.
Long time ago.
All right, that concludes the session with Marcia. Let me tell you about Clyde Sports Shop, folks. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. With the weather this week, you should have been out there fishing because those perch are just going crazy. And we need you to get in there and get your live bait, your minnows, your grass shrimp, your night crawlers, whatever you want, because they've got everything. They got the shad darts, the bobbers, the line. You need new line on your reel. If you didn't put any on last year, you need to put some on this year because you're going to hook up with that 2-pound yellow perch, and you're going to yank back, and the line's going to snap, and then you're going to be mad at the fish. And it's your fault for carrying that rod and reel around in your trunk in all that heat last year. So get some new line on there. Get it at Clyde Sport Shop. They'll take care of that for you. And if you broke the tip off last year and you want to go fishing, but you're going, oh, man, I can't go because I broke the tip off on my rod, take it down there. They'll put a new tip on it, new guide, all the bait, all the lures, all the terminal tackle, everything you need for fishing in 2018 at Clyde Sport Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just up Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. And don't forget that 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-3474-247-FISH, Clyde Sport Shop. We'll be right back after these messages.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Increasing rainfall chances for us as we cruise into the weekend. We're talking about an 80% chance of rain here for Saturday. Mid-50s for high temperatures Saturday. We'll be in the upper 60s on Sunday with a chance for rain showers or thunderstorms. And then some slightly cooler weather into early next week by Monday. Sunshine with high temps in the upper 50s near 60. Nighttime lows in the 30s. And then 60s stay put for much of early next week with sunshine Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm Scott Laurie. I'm more at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
We will never fully understand what we've asked of our military service members, of their families, or their children, asking them to deploy, patrol, stay on watch, on point, asking them to put themselves in harm's way, to endure it all. But we do understand that it's our turn, our duty, to bring them all the way home, to keep them secure, to have their backs for the rest of their lives. Wounded Warrior Project long-term support programs do whatever it takes to help our most severely ill or injured veterans live independently at no cost for life, so that they might stand at ease. Find out how you can help at findwwp.org.
The American Red Cross urgently needs blood and platelet donations and asks donors to schedule an appointment to give now. Every 2 seconds, someone in the United States needs blood. Your blood donation is critical and can help save lives. Please schedule an appointment today. Download the Blood Donor app, visit redcrossblood.org, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS today. You can make a difference.
The following WCBM program has been pre-recorded at this time.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
At least he didn't say now more on Alan Ellis.
I could have added a lot.
Yeah, that's all right. And we're back. We're back with Steve Keithley, Boone and Crockett, Pope and Young, official measure, Marcia Pradeen, who has this big, long title, but she's in charge of Blackwater and Eastern Neck National Wildlife Refuges, correct?
Yes, correct. Thank you.
Trying to get that all done. We talked about the show, and now we started to talk a little bit of Blackwater, about hunting opportunities and so forth. And we talked about the periphery stuff, but there is an actual hunting program that's been very successful on Blackwater. How many acres we got in Blackwater?
Well, we have about 30,000 acres.
That's a lot of acres.
Yes, and about over 13,000 of them are currently open for hunting.
Okay.
And this next year, we're actually going to open up another about 2,500, over 2,500 more acres.
Beautiful.
Coming up this fall.
Good, good. Yes. And the purpose of the hunting program is not just for recreational opportunities for people to come and you know, have a day in the field, correct?
Yeah, that's part of it, certainly. But the major part of it, of course, is actually habitat management. We want to have nice, healthy habitat and a healthy deer population as well.
Okay, and that means keeping the deer population in check.
That's correct.
You have a long archery season that's open just about to anybody.
Yep.
Is that a walk-in deer, or do you have to register ahead of time?
You do have to buy a $20 permit.
Okay.
We open the same day the state, and we close the same day the state does.
I got it.
Yeah.
But you have different dates than the state. I mean, you have you overlap on some of them.
Yes.
But you have days you have to register for because they're a popular day, like the first day of muzzleloader season.
That's correct.
And then you have other open days.
Yes.
And you're not just open during the whole muzzleloader season.
That's correct.
You're not just open during the whole firearm season.
Yes. I mean,
somebody wants to become a good way to get the information, become friend of belong to the Friends of Blackwater.
Yes, absolutely.
And they're the ones that will inform everybody of when the program comes out and so forth. We tried to do that in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly with, keeping the program listed and that type of thing. How many sites are there where people can actually come in and hunt?
Oh, we have over, I believe, 18 units that are open.
18 units.
Yeah, that comprise that over 13,000 acres.
But that's more than one person can hunt a unit.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you have 18 units, but...
So how it works is, for archery, it's open, so for most of the time. There are certain dates, particularly during the gun season, when it's closed for archery. So especially in December, you got to look at your brochure.
Right.
We have a brochure that you can get online, and you're going to get with your permit, that explains all the dates and the rules and regulations.
Got it.
So whenever you apply, archery, you can get over the counter. Everything else you have to mail in and get. And so we have two types of hunts. One's called the quota hunt.
Right.
And that's basically a limited hunt. We allow only limited hunters per unit in. So that's a first come, first serve.
First come, first serve. You got to apply for that. When's the application open, basically, or ballpark?
We usually get them out by around the first week in June.
First week in June.
Yes. So that's when, if you've applied before, you automatically get it in the mail. If you haven't applied before and you want to know, call us and we'll get you on that mailing list. That's correct.
What's the number?
410-228-2677.
228-2677. Pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. And we have a new Facebook page that's been around for almost a year now. And we always, as soon as something's open or whatever, we post that to our Facebook page as well, so that folks can get it in a variety of ways.
I got it. Robin will have to like that. You're the genius.
And we also have non-quota days, which are open. So that is unlimited number of hunters can apply for those particular days.
I've hunted Blackwater twice.
Mm-hmm.
One day with a bow, one day walking the marsh with a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Had an opportunity. Now, this is how my mind thinks, okay? I've got slugs and I've got buckshot with me, okay? So I'm thinking, if I see a deer standing out in the marsh, I just reload the slug. You know, pull the slide back, and I got a slug going in there, second shot, right? First shot's buckshot, because you can use that in Dorchester County, and the technique for walking through the marsh is you jump the deer, sometimes they're pretty close, like under your feet, and you can make a shot within 30 or 40 yards with buckshot and be effective. So I've got buckshot in, and we're walking in, and a stag walked out on the road in front of me about 75 yards, and I thought, okay, Alan, think. This deer is standing at 75 yards. You're not going to hit him with buckshot. So slide the action very slowly. Load the second shot with the slug in there. Aim and shoot. And I did. And the buckshot slapped the water about 20 yards in front of the... And that was my only opportunity of the day. We walked another 5 miles in the marsh and waders. Not fun. But... it's a very effective way. And it, and, mm-hmm. and that's the reason buckshot's still allowed in Dorchester mm-hmm. County is because of that style of hunting.
Marsh, I've got a question for you, just from the biological side. Do you guys, what sort of harvest data do you do, some entomannuli on the teeth, or any type of data do you collect that?
Right, great question. Okay. So right now our quota days, which are limited hunts.
Right.
We only have two of those right now, and that's, we've had just a few over through all the years. That is the only day that we have a required check-in station.
Okay.
That is also the only day that you are assigned a unit. So some folks like the quotas because you'll have a limited number of hunters in that unit with you, but they don't like it because you might not get the unit that you want to be in. But that is the time when we can get some nice, good biological information. Brian Eiler from DNR will come down,
yep.
and he'll man the check station, and he'll age them. And it, you know, the check station is just a great sort of bonding place where you can come in and share your deer and your stories and get that information.
We asked Brian to be here, but he couldn't make it, so we asked Steve.
I'm a utility guy.
So that's what we'd use, and we would use the Downing model to actually kind of simulate what the population would be.
Right.
But this year, for the first time ever, we partnered with University of Delaware. You know, Dr. Jake Bowman is a world's leading expert in Sitka and his students. So thanks to the financial support of Maryland Bow Hunting Society, Union Sportsmen's Alliance, and Friends of Blackwater, they were able to sponsor Dr. Jake Bowman's work to actually do the first ever population density survey of Sitka on the refuge.
Now, how far back does that data go? When did you start those programs?
The actual check stations?
Well, the check stations and the actual harvest data, the cementomannuli, whatever you guys do to age, body weights, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Does that go, how many years does that go back?
You know, I'd have to work with Brian on that, but we've got harvest data back from, I have the numbers here somewhere in front of me, back from 1994, when our hunt started. And the thing is, when we first started hunting it, it'll only be a smaller acreage. And throughout the years, we've been able to add more acreage, more hunts, more. Look at archery. It was not that long ago that we opened that up to the entire archery season.
That's when Steve started to get his fame and fortune through the Maryland Bowhunter Society.
That's right.
I'm
an icon.
We have that. It's limited because it's only from those quota days, those check-in stations.
Sure.
But that is something. And then, of course, Blackwater and Eastern Neck, they both have their own code so that whenever people check in their deer on days that are not quota days, we still get that information as well.
Wildlife Management Unit, 3-digit code.
Correct. And Brian Eiler will send us that data at the end of each season.
Right.
And that's why we use that to help make decisions.
Sure.
For one thing, we definitely want to have a good antlerless ratio to bucks.
We
want to see that. So encouraging.
And it's not all Sitka deer. There's whitetail there, too.
Oh, that's correct. Right.
Yes.
We certainly have, for instance, last year, we just got our numbers from this past season. Our hunters harvested 373 Sitka and 95 whitetail. And the whitetail that we have, they're beautiful deer. There's some nice deer on there.
Got a question.
Underestimate
them. Are you seeing any trends on population where Sitka might be growing, whitetails might be declining, or vice versa?
Yeah, if you look, I'd have to look at the numbers in particular as far as the harvest goes, but they definitely seem to be declining.
That's the trend. The whitetails are declining.
Yeah, the Sitka. You think, okay, is that because the Sitka are out competing them, or is it the habitat? And you got to look at Blackwater as well. We've lost 5,000 acres of marsh to open water since the 30s.
Right.
So the habitat is changing because of other things as well.
Damn nutria.
Well, those darn nutria are gone now. We'll be celebrating.
Have you seen a trend in the physical size of the animals, or the body weights as harvested? Have you seen an upward trend, downward trend that would indicate overall health?
I haven't seen that.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't really looked at that. We haven't noticed that.
Right,
Brian's usually pretty good at that. This year with the University of Delaware survey, this will be our baseline year, so that we'll get population density by habitat types. So when we're actually using FLIR, if you've ever heard of that,
looking infrared.
So when you look at that, you can actually, it looks like thermal imaging, basically, and it's a lot more effective than the good old-fashioned spotlighting. So we'll be able to tell if we make any changes through the years, we'll have this density, this population density that we can compare it to.
Do you do the FLIR strictly without tree cover?
No, we're using it for actually measuring forest, ag, and marsh.
Okay.
So those are the three that we're looking at. And you can, you know, I went out every night for 3 to 4 nights the entire month of September. We were out actually doing the survey, so we've got a lot of images, and I've got some samples. So it's, you know, you can't see through a tree with it, of course.
Right.
But that deer is usually sticking his butt out or his head out at one end or the other. So
exactly.
it's amazing how much better it is, and they do. The statisticians are working in detectability variances as well, so that we'll be able to account for that.
We, as hunters, you know, I published the population study that was done, Jake Bowman.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We published that in the last issue of Merrill Hunting Quarterly magazine. Mm-hmm. And the troubling part was he starts down the path of talking about sika deer as an invasive species.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, and I'm not asking you to comment on
this.
But this is for our listeners. We know that the Dorchester County Farm Bureau is urging the Department of Natural Resources to recategorize sika deer as an invasive species, which would move it into a whole nother category for management is concerned. So I'm just putting that out there for our listeners, and I'm not expecting you to comment
sure,
at all.
Sure, no problem.
But we know that that move is underway. And what we don't want to see, is that assertion backed up by a study.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if that's where it's gone or not, but it was troublesome enough to some people in our world, in the coalition world, when they read that population study to say, hold on a minute here.
Sure.
Because I personally... And I don't know if you think this or not, but I think the economic value of sika deer as far as attracting people to Dorchester County and is far more valuable than having them declared an invasive species and wanting to try and wipe them out.
Absolutely. It's become an iconic symbol of the Eastern Shore.
Exactly.
It really has.
And we manage them as a deer population.
Sure. That's what you have to do.
Yep, just like with whitetail or anything else.
That's the idea.
Yep.
So you also have limited waterfowl hunting on the refuge,
Yes,
too.
We do. Yep. And that's free. You just call in and reserve your spots. There's different areas of the refuge, different parts of the season that you can hunt for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is it primarily you come in with a ground blind, or is there agriculture crops standing to be able to do that? You know, hide in a line of corn rows or anything like that, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's in by boat primarily.
Oh, in by boat.
Okay. Yes.
So it's duck hunting as well as goose.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right.
I
yeah. Yeah. There's certain parts of the refuge that are always closed to waterfowl hunting, of course, and even during the fall and winter and spring, it's even closed to just kayaking and boating and such as
right.
well.
Right. Got it.
So the early season, you can go into the Blackwater River and parts areas like that. The late season is when we open the islands.
Got it.
That you can go out to Bishop's Head and so forth and hunt those. So. It's there, and we'll be looking at opening some more along the tracks along the Nanticoke as well, potentially in the future.
Did you have a question?
Do you have any long-range plans, like a 10-year plan, to maybe open up additional acreage for hunting?
Well, this is the first time we've opened up any additional acreage recently. Yeah, so there's a lot of work, unfortunately, there's a lot of work that goes involved to getting them open, paperwork-wise, looking at endangered species.
Signage, access, all that.
And also cumulative impacts of changes and so forth. So we've done all that over this past year.
And
we've actually built parking lots and roads for two of those units.
Beautiful.
And so two of them are definitely going to be open this fall.
Good.
And the new ones, we're looking at that as well.
Great.
Sounds like
good news.
Plan.
That's good news.
No,
very good public hunting land, for especially for the sika deer.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it ain't easy. It, the place is marsh. I mean, you know.
Oh, no.
It's 12-foot high phragmitis and a lot of water and marsh mud. So, all right. Well, there's some music, Marsha.
Okay.
So, that brings us to the end of the first hour. We're going to take a little break here. But for us, it's time for us to say...
Get out, stay out, and stay safe.
That's what we said.